This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
It is Busted Pencils. We are educated educators. And we are going to talk education. Johnny Lupinacci, Happy New Year, my brother, man. Got snowed out last week, so sorry I missed, you know, I mean. But here we are.
Okay. It was a good show. It was a good show to have repeated.
Yeah.
It was chocked full of really great content. And here we are now. It's actually 2021.
It's true. It's truly here, right?
You, my brother.
Yeah. It. You know, and Jimmy K and I were just talking. I mean, Jimmy gives me a big Happy New Year. Jimmy K, our producer over there on the board. And I'm like, man, it seems like though that it's January 5th, and I don't know. Are we happy?
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know. It's a tough moment because I want it to be a hard restart. You know, I want it to be like, hey, can we just wake up and have 2021 just be a fresh slate?
Right.
But a whole lot of muscle memory from 2020. Really makes all those wake ups feel a lot like last year. And so, you know, tonight let's chop it up. Let's talk about, you know, highlights and good things.
Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking about optimism amidst that, you know, we're getting ready to start another. It's like nothing slows down. Nothing stops.
No, that's the thing. The full tilt. I know people are going at it, you know, going forward. Teachers are back in classrooms or some are not back in classrooms. You know, it depends. All those issues. Look, 844-967-2789. It is Hopes and Dreams 2021 Busted Pencils. You out there listening are the guests tonight if you want to jump in and give us your hopes, your dreams for 2021. And hell, even if you want, you can even kind of reminisce on some of your pains from 2020. Or, Johnny, actually the topic that, you know, I was thinking of starting on, but here we are right away, though. And, you know, looking at like either Monday, today, or even tomorrow, sometime this week, there's a huge decision across the country where decisions to, quote, go back to the classroom versus virtual, and should teachers be going back at this point when COVID rates are the highest they've ever been, right? Okay, so part of the argument was, let's get kids back in school when it's safe, right? When it's safe. All of a sudden now, it's like, let's get kids back in school. What happened to the safe part is my question.
Yeah, Tim, I don't know. That's a question to just lob out there. I think in some cases, I'd like to say, like, you know, it's situational.
Yeah.
Because I'm certain there are some spaces and places where the protocol is as close to about as safe as being at home. You know, and I think probably being home is ultimately the safest if everyone had a safe home, if everyone had,
right,
you know, equal access to technology and all that. We've talked about, you know, people can go back to past episodes and get into that. But I do think there are some places where it's possible.
Yeah. When
it's highly unlikely,
right?
You know, and so it's putting teachers and families and kids in some difficult positions.
And I'm actually avoiding the nuance of safe on this one,
right,
particularly to really hone in on COVID, teachers, kids, spread, safety. Is the classroom an ideal safe place? And you said possibly locally there are some areas where, you know, the overall trending incredible hospitalizations might not be happening the way it appears nationally. And so maybe in that place and time, we can make that decision. But let's look at Chicago, south of me here in Madison, right? Okay, from everybody I know in Chicago, Chicago teachers, I know you're down there listening, 944-967-2789.
Give us a call.
There's no evidence of COVID, you know, declining in the Chicago area. You know, it's one of the hottest spots out there right now. And so, but the mayor, a Democrat, and again, you know, Democrat, Republican, if you're going to make the wrong call, we're going to call you on it, no matter what stripe or what color you want to wear on your hat. But she's saying, look, it's, we got to get kids back to school. And the teachers in the Chicago Teachers Union, the most awesome rocking teachers union in the country, is saying, hold on, where's the safety? Where is air ventilation? All the things early on in July when they were saying, like, look, if we're going to go back to school, we're going to go back to school. We're going to make sure you're safe. You're going to have PPE. You're going to have wiped down desks. You're going to have plexiglass. You're going to have circulated air. And Chicago teachers are like, look, it's January 5th. And right now I'm out at Walmart buying my own Clorox.
Right. And we could have predicted that. I mean, that follows the trend. We've talked about it like pre even 2020. We won't even harp on that. The rhetoric to provide teachers with the best conditions and students ideal conditions to learn in and their teachers to teach in has a long history of not having follow through. And so here the stakes have just gotten more dire. Right. And it's just it really is disheartening. And it's tough because, like you said, like, we really want a fresh start. You know, we both work with teachers, know a lot of teachers. And so, especially in teacher education, right, trying to talk to future teachers about coming into teaching in this moment. And you know, and the teacher demoralization factor, it could not be higher. This is the most, and I say this, you know, with very little skepticism, this is the most difficult time in my career as a teacher to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And so, and teaching is already a difficult profession. I mean, it is
right
been magnified.
So are we making the call to put teachers in a position where they're trying to, as some teachers are saying, like, I'm putting my life on the line, you know, and where's the PPE, let alone the vaccine? We can't get that going on. But Johnny, we got a caller, Dave.
Hey, hey.
Dave, welcome to Busted Pencils. What's happening, man?
Hey, great to be on. Thanks for taking my call. Really quickly, I just wanted to throw one little wrench into the conversation here. So
you sure.
just mentioned the Chicago Teachers Union. So my wife is originally from Chicago. I actually have a nephew that goes to public school there. And Sarah Chambers, who's the head of the union down there in Chicago, was the one advocating, pushing that the kids should not be in school. But look where she did it from. She was doing it on a beach in a bathing suit in Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico's got rampant COVID. She actually doubled down. She said it's safer on an airplane because they got all this ventilation. Meanwhile, she's not wearing a mask. She's in the beach in Puerto Rico where it's rampant. And that is what is literally taking off when you're a family member and you see somebody posting that. That just gets parents irate.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. So I don't know if you're aware of this, but
well,
you can look up.
I follow the Twitter world. I'll have to step in for Johnny because Johnny doesn't do on the Twitter world, and I know who you're talking about. I know, yep. I've seen Sarah out there, and I've watched a little bit of that. And I think, Dave, to make a point to say, yes. like, look, if you're going to advocate for something, then live it. Also,
yes,
I think it's a. Yes. I think you're making a valid point on that. I don't think, though, that when somebody doesn't do the right thing, that isn't evidence for why we should do the wrong thing.
Right. I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
Optics,
right.
The optics, though, it's what I'm coming from is the optics.
You're right. It's a disastrous case from an optics standpoint.
Yeah, right.
But again, I this is where, and I think we're seeing this all over the place. It's like, well, so-and-so screwed up, so I might as well go and screw up too. And at some
right.
point, we go, okay.
Look what happened with the medical doctor, Dr. Burks.
Yeah.
And look at the backlash she faced. And I don't blame that she got some of it. And she's like, I'm out of here. Well, she's advocating, but then she turns around and she doubled down on it, and I, you know, listen, that's her thing, but she went against the whole protocol that she's been telling everybody else has to follow. And again, if you're in that position and you're just a common person, and we're gonna shut you down, but you can get to do whatever you want to do, that's why you got all this craziness going on. Unfortunately, you know, it's all over the place. It cuts both sides of the aisle. And I just think at the end of the day, the bigger conversation is this, is that the kids, they're doing social distancing. Some of them are doing very well, but a good chunk of them are actually falling way, way, way behind. And there's going to be repercussions for that for many, many years going down the road if we can't figure out, like you said, how do we safely get these kids back in there? Because if we don't, we're going to have a very bleak and dark future, I think, for the next generation of young Americans that are coming out of the schools.
Dave, we appreciate your call. Johnny, let you Absolutely. Take this out into the break.
Cool. Yeah, and I think Dave brings up an important point. There is a tremendous visibility right now to privilege differences, right? And I think we all need a little reality check in it in terms of, you know, that, you know, somebody advocating a particular position doesn't necessarily have to live it. It's more than optics. It's actually, you know, exposing that there is a real difference here in who gets to do what and how it looks, right? What quarantine or safety from a deadly pandemic looks like for those who have the means and access to, and I put some scare quotes up here in the video, you know, travel safely or, you know, have a beach that they could socially distance at, even in a country where the virus is rampant. You know, on the flip of that, I think, you know, there is a lot of hope in the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of, I hope these young folks actually really flip the script that they aren't falling behind, but yet that they're equipped with a different set of problem-solving skills. And they've seen the ugly side of the beast, that the school system as it exists, our communities, our infrastructure is not supportive of community life, of us living together. And so that's what I'm excited about. We'll come back from the break and we'll chop that up a bit, but what's it going to look like for this new generation? What are the skills and lessons they have to offer us?
Stream the Devils and progressive news and talk 24/7 at the Devils Advocates Radio Network, Wisconsin. That's DARNWI.com. That's DARNWI.com.
Hi, this is Dom from the Devils Advocates inviting you to join us on Patreon.com. Patreon allows for our audience to access exclusive programming not available anywhere else and gives you the ability to directly support the greatest radio show ever. History's patrons have supported the works of Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Monet, and now with your support, the Devils Advocates. So please go to Patreon.com and search the Devils Advocates to pick your subscription. That's Patreon.com and the Devils Advocates, the greatest radio show ever.
Tune into Sharp Elbows. It's on at 10 a.m. Saturdays with me, Representative Francesca Hong, and my friend Nada El-Makashvi. Every Saturday morning, we want to have a conversation with you about what's going on in the world. Whether it's on the biggest issues, current events, or people who inspire us, let's discuss it all. It's kind of like brunch, but with politics, guests, and callers. No shortage of fun, but also be prepared for some serious truth-telling. Talk to y'all soon.
Sharp Elbows airs Saturdays 10 a.m. only on Devil Radio 92.7.
For 16 years, Dane by Local has been shining a spotlight on how important local businesses and nonprofits are in our communities. Now DBL is teaming up with 92.7 FM Devil Radio to bring you Let's Get Local. Join me, Jason Hafman, Saturdays at 11 a.m. for features with area leaders and business owners who help make our communities unique and special. They're our neighbors and friends, and they have stories to tell. So check out Let's Get Local Saturdays 11 a.m. to noon on Devil Radio 92.7.
Madison, you say what? Each weeknight from 5 to 6, don't miss out on a single day of the Earl Ingram Show right here on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, 1580 AM.
From Columbus to Fox Lake, Devil Radio on WTTN 1580 AM is essential radio to get you through your day.
Teaching and learning during COVID-19 has presented unprecedented challenges. Where do you go for answers? Busted Pencils. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
Of course it's Busted Pencils, man. And where else would you go for COVID talk and education? Again, Dave from Equan Caller, you know, pointing out an issue that we were talking about, Johnny. I think, you know, yeah, optics matter. And if we're going to talk about these things, and but when we go back to the safety, I still have to say, because one person makes a personal mistake, it still doesn't negate the fact that, you know, schools can become super spreaders. And so are school buildings in a hot zone, a place that we should be sending students back. And that now brings into the little bit of the nuance where you were going with, and Dave even hinted to this, and actually he kind of hit it hard. But I just want to remind everybody, though, too, you can join us like Dave. It's 844-967-2789. And if you're paying attention and you're on the Facebook page of Busted Pencils, you might even actually, by calling Rick, realize there's a special treat out there tonight, Johnny. Now, we're not, you know, again, we're going to keep that, but I'm waiting. I thought Dave almost had it, but I wasn't ready to call it for him yet. So anyway, Busted Pencils Facebook page, check it out. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. But, you know, Johnny, you were saying about this, and Dave was talking about the fact that, you know, maybe students might be hurting for years because of all the missed times in classrooms. And you framed it as, well, what if we actually didn't see this as time lost, but what did we gain during this time? Elaborate.
Well, yeah, man, I'm just trying to, you know, anytime you say no to something, you're saying yes to a plethora of other things, right? And I'm interested in what we look back at, even just our past shows content from. You know, we are living right now, teaching and learning, in the largest social uprising of all of our lifetimes, right? Whether that's Black Lives Matter, or whether that's workers' strikes in India, I mean, around the world, whether that's climate change activism, there is a level of saying enough from young people and across generations, enough that the world's social majority is saying this ain't gonna cut it. And so when that happens, and some of the systems in place to sort of, you know, tone that down, schools, right, are upended, right? And we are thrown into young people connecting in all kinds of alternative ways with one another, but intergenerationally as well. What kinds of things happen when they're cued into that and that becomes the curriculum? When they're able to say, nope, things have to be pretty local, but also connected to the global. But we got to have some autonomy here. Mm-hmm. We got to have some, our food systems can't be, you know, all export and really far from us and not healthy, because we've seen it. This stuff can go south. Actually, that's a bad metaphor, but this stuff can fall from underneath us. And we actually have to think about, what does mutual aid mean? What does it mean to be in community with one another? What does it mean to learn to be in community with one another? Not just read it in a book, test, put it on a test. But, you know, so I get excited in this, and I don't want to say like, hey, silver lining, this is a great moment to have. It's been an awful year for more than one reason. And we're headed into another really difficult start to one. But, you know, I think the opportunity still is there to say, what can we do differently, not just as a result of the pandemic, but as a result of all of the dissenting voices that have said for a long time, education can do better and ought to be doing better, that young people ought to have a different educational opportunity than we currently systemically structure for them. And we were thrown into a mess that they know what exists doesn't quite work.
Right.
Even when it's working.
Right.
And so that's the moment I'm saying, so what are those lessons? Can we Can we tap into that?
So I'm getting a hope and a dream from Johnny Lupinacci on Busted Pencils right there. 844-967-2789. What's your hope? What's your dream out there? But no, Johnny, yeah, it's this idea, you know, and regular listeners are not, you know, maybe going, you know, not there again. But yeah, it's like when you said, you know, pre-pandemic, school wasn't working, right? Mm-hmm. It's like,
well, it was working for certain things. Well, Social Majority Uprising is saying, no,
it's not gonna, right. And I got to tell you, from a white privileged point of view, which is mine, I don't think my kids, other than being able to access the things that I was able to give them, the education system, if I'm looking at what was it teaching them, and in fact, the standard curriculum itself and the obsessiveness with achievement still rang the day. And nothing drove me crazier. Everybody knows this. 2011, man. United opt-out began when I took my son out of No Child Left Behind testing as largely, for me, a protest to saying, you're not teaching him anything other than what matters is achievement on simple literacy and numeracy tests that are devoid of any content. And then when you do the content that you expose him to is traditional social studies and science textbooks, which in and of themselves have an incredibly awful way of presenting information, if not dull and bland. How about just plain inaccurate and in fact keeping the majority rule in place, you know, so when people are critiquing, for example, the social studies curriculum and the move, and we've got a president not much longer, hopefully, in the position who's saying, look, you can't teach radical Howard Zinn stuff. And I'm sitting there going, what do you mean radical? You can't, the kids are dying for that information. My hope, my dream, as we're about to go to the bottom of the half hour as we come forward, is to see a curriculum uprising for me. And I want to talk more about that when we get back after the break, Johnny. But for me, it's this idea, curriculum. There is so much richness in this moment and yet so much more richness that's out there. And if we talk about every day, there's a moment to talk about things. 844-967-2789.
Give us a call. Come on.
Call us, man. What's your hope? What's your dream? Go to the Facebook page if you want that secret little ingredient to help you out. Busted Pencils, back after the break.